Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon, and select retailers nationwide.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs?
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore.
It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
I'm going to get a bunch of people. I'm going to get Jake Malasek, a bunch of other people from that side that are into the movie. We're going to go in dressed normally, wearing backpacks, and go into the bathroom, change into our suits, and then get into the theater so that they can't kick us out or call the police until it's already done.
Wait, are they calling the police on people just going in suits?
They're banning if you walk in there with a suit, you're not allowed to go in.
What?
Like, you just can't go in.
Why?
In certain theaters. I think they do it more in suburban areas than here, but you're just not allowed in.
They just don't want teens? Rowdy teens in the theaters?
No more rowdy teens in the theaters.
Well, nobody saw it but me, so I guess I'll give my quick review. Not bad.
See?
68 out of 100.
1 point away from the 69. Did you not want to give that to a kids movie?
No, it's not a movie I would. If it's not buttered, I don't like fully recommend. I mean, I would not recommend this to most people.
Mm-hmm.
But right. For what it is, not awful.
I can't.
Soundtrack's
wait.
Pretty good.
A little throat clear. It's a little below Despicable Me 2. The first one's significantly better. The last Minions movie was a fucking abomination.
Isn't that a good thing when you're describing a Minions movie? Isn't that what they want?
Maybe.
What was the bit? It was like, never ask a woman her age, never ask a woman her weight, and never ask the Minions what they were doing from 1939 to 1945.
That's pretty good.
Oh, man.
That's the movie I want to see.
You might have seen Minions, but nobody drank more Minions Icy than me.
Ooh.
I went out for refills.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What flavor is it? Banana?
Banana, yeah.
Has to be.
Oh, disgusting.
I'm allergic.
Oh yeah, well that makes sense.
That.
Yeah, but banana flavor
to real bananas.
Imagine we sat next to each other for Thor, and you imagine how I leaned over to sip my Diet Coke, and I actually sipped your icy. You should have died in the
blew
theater.
Up.
You artificial banana
man in the
I actually
theater.
Would not have died. I would have vomited. Like I would have projectiled all over the person in front of us.
That would have been bad.
The artificial banana. We talked about this. Artificial banana tastes better than regular banana.
Undoubtedly.
Without like banana Laffy Taffy. Arguably one of the best tasting things on earth.
Agreed.
And so much does taste nothing like a banana whatsoever, but significantly
better.
They
get the little jokes on the flap.
Yeah. Laffy Taffy seems like a food that Minions would love.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, they make Minions Laffy Taffy.
Oh, God damn it.
They make Minions everything.
They make Minions LSD. Do you remember I showed you that?
Yeah.
I would suggest, if you like Despicable Me, I don't think you'll hate Rise of Gru. If you hated Minions, you'll like Minions Rise of Gru more. The Minions movie was fucking awful.
I've only ever seen the first one, Despicable Me, but I remember liking it.
I just watched it for the first time last week.
Oh, the original? The original's very good.
It was so fluffy.
The original is very funny. But unfortunately, the thing that people plucked out of it most...
The meme or the Minions.
I mean, there was a good article about Minions.
I was going to say also the meme where he's giving the plan.
Yeah,
Trey
yeah.
Parker from South Park did a bunch of the soundtrack on like 2 and 3.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he did the voice of the Gru's brother in...
the third one, didn't
he? Yeah, so it might have been just been three, he did some of the soundtrack with Pharrell on there. Probably.
It would make sense if
there's
he had
a,
kids.
There's an article somewhere talking about the IP, the Minions IP, and how it's going to be very hard to replicate that.
Yeah, I would imagine. Then once they franchise that shit, it just turned into a whole different animal.
This episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool brought to you by Truebill. If you want a lot of subscription services for streaming platforms, from Disney Plus to HBO Max, Netflix, and everything in between, like us, adds up, gets expensive. And you might even be signed up for shit you don't even know you're signed up for.
I am.
What?
I don't know.
I have a $16.95 charge I get from Microsoft every month. I can't figure out how to get rid of it. I've called Microsoft a trillion times. I've canceled the payment. They will not get rid of it. I think I haven't owned an Xbox in 4 years.
You're going to have to bill.
I think I'm going to have to go to Truebill to figure this out.
Yeah. People save up to $720 a year with Truebill.
That one. Gotcha.
It's almost $1,000 a year people are saving. It's a new app. Helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or maybe even forgot about. Smartest way to manage your finances. Cancel subscriptions directly through the app. Create a monthly budget and expenses, track, evaluate savings, goals, automated savings. You get push notifications if you're getting close to going over your budget, all that and more. Get started today at Truebill.com, TrueBill.com/lights. Take control of your finances and start saving at TrueBill.com/lights. news. We have a lot of news. We'll get into news. We'll get into news. Then we'll talk Stranger Things after that. So we'll do news first. A lot of trailers. Again, we haven't been on in 2 weeks. A bunch that we haven't been able to talk about yet. First up, in terms of movie news and trailers, here's my fucking thing gonna load. What the fuck? Just a blank screen. Look at this shit.
I got mine up if you need me.
Season 4. That's Stranger Things. We'll talk that and The Boys. I have an update on Amazon.
The Boys.
Teaser trailer for Hocus Pocus 2 was released. Mm. They're all back. All the ladies are back. Three young women accidentally bring back the Sanderson sisters to modern-day Salem and must figure out how to stop the child-hungry witches from wreaking havoc on the world. Hits Disney Plus on September 30th. I don't give a fuck about this movie.
I truly
do not give a fuck about this movie.
We rewatched it, and all I remember is that it was the horniest movie I think I've ever seen. If I remember right, the main male teen was every action he undertook in that movie is because he was really horned up, and it was really fucking weird. But yeah, I'm with you. I just don't really care too much about this at all.
Agreed. I've never seen the first one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hate Bette Midler.
She's an anti-MCU person, remember?
Oh,
she did all that stuff like,
you don't like Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah. Meryl Streep ripped on MMA.
And also ruined Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Otherwise, good movie.
So fucking stupid.
And she shit on football that one time, too.
Bette Midler did?
No, Meryl Streep did.
Yes. Wait, did she shit on football in the Golden Globe speech?
Yeah, she's like, what are you going to do? Watch football? And I remember everyone's like,
Mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts.
That's not the arts.
Yeah.
I don't think you're fucking idiot.
I would love to see, like, just getting Meryl Streep getting put in a guillotine.
Yeah, Meryl Streep versus Valentina Shevchenko.
Yes.
But no, you see, I'm really happy because I thought you guys were going to come on here and talk about how excited you were for Hocus Pocus.
I think we've talked, we may not have talked about it with you, but we've talked. Hocus Pocus is not a movie that I have any nostalgia for.
But the thing is, are there people, and I feel like I'm going to get shit on for this. Are there people who, like, unironically like that movie?
Oh, yeah. It's a nostalgia factor, though.
For sure.
I always thought it was, like, a joke. Like, you remember Hocus Pocus, like, I don't know. If people like it, people like it. I watched it as a kid. It really didn't do a whole lot for me. But, you know,
not the target audience.
Exactly.
Chris, that trailer in its first day did 44 million views.
Yeah.
Which beat out, like, The Mandalorian's first trailer.
Feed off The Mandalorian. Yeah, I mean,
Book of Boba Fett's first trailer, like, I didn't realize it either. People fucking love this movie.
I remember.
Oh no, that's not even a question. It's an insane.
I didn't realize it was that
nostalgia based Disney movie that they've been asking for a sequel for a long time. I'm actually kind of surprised it took this long. I mean, it's for what it is. I'm not going to say it's the worst thing in the world, but I just don't. I don't care about it.
Same.
Like, truly, truly, do not. Not at all.
How many Halloween Towns did they make?
A lot.
Four or five, right?
Yeah,
that's the tagline.
Halloween Town.
Which, please, that's all right. I guess kind of like that.
Halloween Town, Halloween Town High, Halloween Town Calabar's Revenge. I think there's a fourth. No, there's only three.
Mm. But no, because didn't they do a fourth one with Sarah Paxton, or was that the third one?
I thought there were four.
Direct to DVD one sounds like it would be on their platter.
It's Home Alone movies. Do you think there are?
There's six
right now. Yeah,
that's crazy.
There's 1 through 3. There's 4. There's 5.
With the one with the girl that I think cost $50,000 to make.
5, I think, has French Stewart in it.
Yes,
which might be wrong. On
which
that.
One's the one with terrorist?
That's three.
Yeah. The one that Roger Ebert said was the best one.
And yes, also exactly. Scarlett Johansson features a young Scarlett Johansson. Yeah, that's
right. Halloween Town. Yeah, there are 4. Return to Halloween Town. I have never watched that one. I won't watch that one. That's the one with Sarah Pat. I will not watch that one. I did a rewatch of these. I think I did a rewatch for this pod maybe, and I think we did. I started watching the second one. It's not good. It's bad. But I got through it. And I was like, oof. Then I watched Halloween Town High. I'd seen it before. I made 10 minutes. And I was like, I have to stop this. This must stop.
What I'm actually waiting for is Hubie Halloween 2. That's the one I really want. Because that was a legitimately pretty funny movie.
Hubie Halloween was very funny. Yeah.
Oh, actually, Chris, I'm curious what you thought about Hubie Halloween.
I haven't seen it yet. I think you'll like it. I heard it was pretty good.
You haven't
good,
seen
though.
It yet, Chris? I'm thinking you're not ever going to watch Hubie Halloween based on that.
I will.
I think you'll like it.
See How They Run, another trailer. Stars Saoirse Ronan, Sam Rockwell, Adrian Brody, David Oyelowo. A Hollywood film producer sets out to turn a popular play into a film. Members of the production are murdered. World-weary Inspector Stoppard and rookie Constable Stalker find themselves in the midst of a puzzling whodunit. Hits theaters on September 9th. This is not a Wes Anderson movie.
Not Wes Anderson.
But boy, does it look like
Ryan Johnson either, yeah.
It's got a lot of... All the comments are like, this is like Coen Brothers, Ryan Johnson, like Knives Out, and Wes Anderson. I think the fact that it's like Sam Rockwell, Saoirse Ronan, and Adrian... You have a lot of like people who are very adjacent to the Wes Anderson brothers. The Wes Anderson. I'm a big Saoirse Ronan fan, so I'm going to watch anything she's in. But I think in terms of just... how this trailer looked, I thought it looked pretty pretty delightful. Also, it's one of those cast posters, too, where it's like since it's like an ensemble cast, it's like, how many is it? It's 10 people all lined up with each other in like little boxes on the poster.
I like those ones.
That always gets me going a little bit.
Old school looking font, too. I like the way they did it.
The director, Tom George, doesn't even have a fucking Wikipedia page.
I know, yep. It's crazy. To get that many big actors on your movie and not even have a wiki page is
his. When you go to his IMDb page, like a lot of his work was on like live band shows. Like the Glastonbury 2014. Like
perfectly situated for this stuff.
Interesting. How the fuck did he get
it? Ryan Johnson bring the whodunit back?
I think so. I think someone...
Completely. We got 2 murder mysteries just this week to talk about in terms of the trailer.
It seems like, and a lot of people probably brought this out, they like, think it's like, it kind of looks like Knives Out Light, sort of, which I could see that. Yeah, it looks like someone who watched Knives Out and they're like, I can do this and I'll bring it back to the old school sleuth sort of genre. Looks fine.
Clue-esque, right? Yeah. With the butler. Yeah. Like a butler talking.
Yeah, for sure. Looks fine. Doesn't look like anything... I would say that my ceiling for this is lower just by watching that trailer. I'm like, I don't think this is going to be exceptional.
Agreed.
Especially Sam Rockwell's English accent. Not very good.
It also, ever since seeing the Murder on the Orient Express, one of these ensemble and cast that I was excited for.
That was so bad. And both of them were.
I sat in the theater so bored the whole movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I get a little bit worried if it's not, you know, a Ryan Johnson Knives Out movie.
Kenneth Branagh, one of the most bizarre filmmakers in the world, either makes absolute garbage.
Get rid of that IP, my dude. Yeah. Just like enough of the Urkel Perot.
I didn't see
shit.
The second one.
It's better. That's better than the first one.
I liked it actually a little bit. I mean, it was
better than the first one.
Army Hammer, though, that's weird, right?
Yeah.
It was, and there were multiple people in that.
Yes, there was a couple where it's like,
like I thought it was. I enjoyed it more.
What's the second one?
But not by much.
It's the Nile. Death on the Nile. Death on the Nile.
Murder on the Express, I gave a 63. Death on the Nile, I gave a 69.
What the fuck is going to happen with The Flash?
That movie is. That's
all I got.
The Flash? I can't wait. We got to do an entire episode just talking about that fucking movie.
Just break it down bit by bit. I would love to get someone from that movie on. Like, was it Andy Muschietti or whatever? I don't forget who directs it.
Yeah.
It's Andy Muschietti.
Yeah, the guy who did
to put someone else in.
Yeah.
So let's see how they run. That movie comes out in September. Another fall movie is Ticket to Paradise with George Clooney, Julia Roberts, Caitlin Dever. And this is a divorced couple that teams up and travels to Bali to stop their daughter from making the same mistake they think they made 25 years ago. So they're divorced.
Feels like a movie that came out 25 years ago.
October 21st. Yeah. things that pop out from the trailer, it's like a ex-couples retreat, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, It looks like a vacation for George Clooney and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Respect that.
One of those Adam Sandler moves.
Like, yeah. It looks like they went to Bali to take a vacation. They just happened to be able to... They're like, you want to film a movie? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pay for the vacation.
Doesn't... I mean, could maybe... This could be delightful. Taylor Ever's a very good actress. And she's not typically in bad things.
Last Man Standing.
Yeah, that's right. She went to the military in that show.
Kind of Mamma Mia vibes, right?
Didn't she go to the military in that show? Did anyone know that? Last Man Standing? I think she did.
My parents love that show. This is a big parents movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look very good.
They didn't even use the Eddie Money song.
They used Dua Lipa.
Tickets to Paradise. What the fuck?
Yeah.
They use a lot of Dua Lipa in this. Maybe try to attract like a younger audience to mix with the older audience that's going to just want to go see Julia. I mean, you know, this there'd be a lot of moms at this movie.
Oh, yeah. This seems like a movie my mom would love.
A lot of moms at this movie.
Yeah.
I could see this also being mildly charming as well, though.
Yeah.
They're two professional actors. And the first half of the trailer I thought was fine. What does bother me, this is just a pet peeve of mine in movies, is when, like, you're trying to break up a couple by doing really sadistic shit. Like, there's a part in this trailer where they're like, let's just steal their wedding rings. I'm like, that's such classic
rom-com shit, though. Yeah. Or, like, Julia Roberts' character learns, like, the native language. Mm. Like, oh, did you do that to... And he's like, oh, did you do that to make me look bad?
Yeah.
He's like, you do that yourself already enough. Like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Don't talk to Batman like that.
Yeah. Your favorite Batman.
My favorite, yeah.
You've always
he's
said
number
that.
Number one, yeah.
You say that without actually every day.
Good Bruce Wayne.
I thought The Batman would have been a good film if Clooney would have been in it.
Yeah.
If he was Thomas Wayne, can you imagine?
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
David O. Russell is back. Which for some...
It could be... This is like a, what do you call it, situation? Ezra Miller situation, where it could be terrible. You never know. David O. Russell's kind of a psychopath.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
A noted piece of shit.
Huge piece of shit.
Yeah, George Clooney beat the shit out of him once.
Beat the shit out of him?
It was on Three Kings.
No, right? He almost beat the shit out of him. He almost did.
Wasn't it over, like, basketball, too, or something? What was it?
He got in, like, I remember they have a video of it. He got in a screaming match with a high-profile actress on the set, and it was, like, crazy. Oh,
Lily Tomlin.
He's very mean. That's right, yeah.
So mean.
On what set would that have
been? I don't remember.
I Heart Huckabee, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yep, I think you're right.
It
would have
been I Heart Huckabee's, yeah. Solid
movie.
He's just a piece of shit on set. Unreal. And Clooney was fed up with it. I mean, O'Russell's made some great movies. The Fighter, Three Kings, Silver Linings Playbook. American Hustle's in that really weird gray area where
one looked like to me.
Yeah, some people think it's an absolute steaming pile of shit. It was nominated for like 12 Oscars, won zero of them. It was massively hyped up.
It should have been better than it was. Every time I watch it,
with that cast.
I'm like, this should have been so much better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Chris's favorite Louis C.K. movie.
Yeah.
He always says that. Louis C.K., by the way.
Pootie Tang's number one, by the way, if anyone's listening. It's Pootie Tang's his number one movie.
While I'm not much of a... I know nobody wants to hear somebody else's dreams. Other night, I went to McDonald's in a dream, and Louis C.K. was the fry cook behind the counter.
Whoa.
Didn't say anything. Didn't say a word, but I was like, in my dream, like, is it Louis C.K.?
You were like, unreal.
Unreal. What a career change. You walked Louis C.K.
The door closed and locked automatically.
Yeah. All the kiosks really quick. Shut down.
Yeah.
Also, the Mott movie, Joy.
Mm. So Joy, when I was working at a movie theater, we had like two big screens that played trailers. One was Joy. One was The Force Awakens. I think one might have been like a Transformers or something. I watched the trailer to Joy more than any human alive. More than David
Joy
Russell,
is
more
the
than
Bohemian
anyone.
Rhapsody of Mott movies.
Yeah.
I've never seen the actual movie.
It's not awful.
That's funny,
I kind of like it.
So really, I think it's so painfully average. It's so average.
I'm a J Law stan though. So
I mean, she was good in it.
I feel the same way.
She was good, and she was nominated for Best Actress at the Oscars for it, which I believe was controversial.
Has she been in stuff lately?
No, she. I think she just had a kid.
Yeah,
she was in Don't Look Up.
Yeah, true.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that.
Good point.
She wasn't Don't Look Up. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, stars, big cast, so Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, John David Washington, Chris Rock, Robert De Niro, Anya Taylor-Joy, Taylor Swift, Rami Malek, Zoe Saldana, Mike Myers. It's set in the 30s, follows three friends who witness a murder, become suspects themselves, and uncover one of the most dangerous plots in American history. Hits theaters November 4th.
It's, they're discovering July 6th, like this early? It's like the 30s. This is crazy.
It's, I just, I just don't know what to expect because I think he's made really good. This is the cast is huge.
Yeah.
Cast is great. This is the other obviously murder mystery one. I don't know. I think American Hustle. I don't hate American Hustle. Some people do. Ken Jack, you and I have the same exact score, 83. Mm-hmm. I think it was incredibly watchable. It was enjoyable at times, but it just doesn't. It's missing something that like a Silver Linings Playbook of Three Kings, Leave the Fighter have. But the cast is so fucking good, and I like all of these people. Mm. Taylor Swift is an interesting one, though.
It's like one of the weirdest
New Year's Eve, right?
That was. Maybe.
I'm surprised they didn't show her in the trailer.
I was gonna say I didn't know she was in this. I was like, did I miss that in the trailer?
It's one of the weirdest, like I would say, combination of people in a cast like ever. It almost reminds me of like it didn't maybe just because it's Taylor Swift, but like Cats in a sense where it's just
they're gonna say Valentine's Day.
Oh, right, she wasn't Taylor Swift.
It's just a bizarre.
Oh, that's what it was. I thought it was New Year's Eve.
Oh, maybe it was.
Was she also on New Year's Eve?
She was with Taylor.
No, she was in Valentine's Day. I don't believe she was in New Year's Eve. She was in The Giver.
The Giver, yeah.
Right.
Oh, man, what a fucking
Meryl, that's
movie.
A Meryl Streep bet. Meryl Streep and Jeff Bridges banger, right?
Jeff Bridges was the old guy, yeah.
Casting Taylor Swift is such like a move where you're like, I have an idea. What is it? Taylor Swift. Like just like a needle mover. You're I'm a fucking genius.
We'll reach out.
Sure. musicians though. Kid Cudi was in that movie X
and Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
Also Don't Look Up. That's right.
He was funny in Don't Look
Chance
Up.
Chance the Rapper made that pretty shitty horror movie that we had to watch.
The pizza movie.
Slice.
A24.
Slice.
Like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. MGK.
Mm-hmm. MGK is a sneaky great actor.
He is a
pretty
good actor.
He's very good.
Yeah.
Mm. The Dirt was where he got punched a bunch, right? And then people made
78 times.
Might have been no context. That. He just said, I was making this movie and I got punched 59 times in the chest. And we're like, what do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, context would have helped quite a bit there.
Yeah. He might not even said that there was a movie involved.
The headline, too.
Yeah. No, I don't think he did say this, but I think he just said,
Yeah, he's like, I had to go to the hospital because I was punched 59 times in the chest. I think
why would you not
line.
Say, like, oh, by the way, I'm filming a movie? Yeah.
It's funny.
So that's Amsterdam. Then another trailer, which I'm not excited. Kevin Smith fucking sucks right now. I'm just kidding, Robbie. He's being a dick. Clerks 3.
Yeah.
The gang is back.
Yeah.
They look
old, except for Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
They're enlisted by Randall after a heart attack to make a movie about the convenience store that started it all.
It's like a movie about Kevin Smith's life. A sneaky
basically,
movie
yeah.
about Kevin Smith's
yeah.
life.
September 13th. We interviewed Kevin Smith with you.
Yeah.
You are the authority on Kevin Smith. Robbie, thoughts on the trailer?
I thought it looked pretty good. It didn't like, I didn't watch it and go like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I kind of tweeted like that because I just like to show my support for Kevin Smith. It reminded me a lot of Jay and Silent Bob reboot in the comedy of the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is like, I thought that was like a nice homage to the fans. But when you're doing a Clerks 3 wide release, you're going to have to expand it a little bit.
Yeah.
Aside from the inside jokes and whatnot. But obviously, for like a Kevin Smith diehard, I feel like we're gonna like it. And if you're a Kevin Smith fan who's like followed his last couple years, especially with the heart attack and all that shit, the cameos that were in the trailer were pretty good. Ben Affleck always getting him in there is funny. I actually, my birthday was over the weekend, and I spent it just watching Kevin Smith movies the whole day.
Will it be better?
What's the trilogy called?
What's it?
The Jersey. He's got the Jersey trilogy. He's got
the
like
Mall
another
something
like that.
Is it Mallrats trilogy?
North trilogy.
Yeah.
I watched Clerks and Clerks 2 for the first time last week.
Both
after this trailer dropped.
Unreal.
Both
pretty
are great
good
Clerks
movies.
Too.
I loved them.
Very fucking funny.
I
recently watched Chasing Amy too.
The Lord of the Rings versus Star Wars bit still makes me laugh every time I watch
that
scene. It's so goddamn
funny.
That guy throws
up on his
it's huge. It's so funny. Yeah. I think it's I would agree with you.
I watched both of those, and I watched Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which is just the
reboot,
most 2001 movie of all time.
Reboot had no business being as solid as it was.
Yeah, it was a fun movie.
I would say I'd agree with you in that, like, nothing super stood off the page. I do like, I would say in general, I like movies about making movies.
Agreed,
I always like those, and I think
Ed Wood.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you include that plus the whole, like, I would say lore of Clerks and Jane Son, Bob and all that stuff. And it is like a good sort of recipe. I like they mention all the meta stuff within it. And they make the joke, which is now a joke that's bad, which is like, oh, don't you hate it when people make unnecessary sequels? Like, that was funny the first time I saw it. Now it's become part of the thing where it's like, well, now that's just part of the anti-reboot culture. So, so I don't know.
That's a joke that they made in Reboot, too. It's
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
This episode of Lights, Camera, Bars brought to you by Allbirds. They create shoes and clothing.
Wearing them right now.
That are much better for you. Yeah, I wore them all weekend. Very comfortable. Better for the planet using revolutionary roster of premium natural materials. I got their Tree Runner sneaker. Got the Wool Runner as well. I think it's called the Wool Runner. I know the Tree Runner is definitely more for summer, but I wear the Wool Runner in the summer as well. Made of eucalyptus tree fiber.
Yeah.
Lightweight, very breathable, silky soft material. Perfect everyday shoe where you can dress it up, dress it down. All the shoes are fantastic. They feel great. Like the inner soles feel great.
Yeah.
They're soft. Like bouncy almost.
Easy to clean too. Nice shoes.
Very easy to clean.
Yeah.
And because that's I think a drawback. People look up Allbirds like, oh fuck, all like the soles are very
white or light.
Some are dark, but yeah. You get maybe just like a little like a washcloth out.
It's literally all you need. Looks brand new.
Thoughtfully designed, no unnecessary frills or logos. They got a real like nice generic look to them. Perfect for exploring a new city during the day, maybe going out, maybe going to dinner. Doesn't matter. Find your new favorite shoes for sunny days and upcoming travel at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com. Some other movie news, some random shit. First look at Sigourney Weaver. This is a wild one.
Speaking of tree runners.
We gotta explain this one. Okay. First look at Sigourney Weaver as Jake.
Jake's Sully's daughter,
right?
Yeah.
Neytiri, yes. Yeah. Teenage Na'vi daughter in Avatar.
You gotta say Jake Sully's full name every time.
That's true.
You can't just say Jake.
So some may be wondering. Well, that's what do you mean? What do you mean Sigourney Weaver is playing the daughter? She died. Her character died.
Well, she got brought back into an Avatar. No, at the end of the movie, she got turned in. Like wasn't that
no,
whole thing? Was
no,
like she
no the Avatar died. No, I believe the Avatar died.
Yeah.
Sully got brought back as an Avatar.
I thought she got shot, and then as she was dying, like, they put her in that thing, and then she got brought
think,
back to
I think
Avatar.
Her hair fucked Jake Sully's hair, and that's how he... That's what happened.
Or maybe
I don't know why you're
part,
laughing.
Maybe she became part of the tree.
That's what that... I just told the real thing. Well, let me look it up.
I my water out.
I have not watched Avatar in a while.
When you rewatch it, you're going to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. James Cameron said.
That was the most aggressive quote. I loved that.
He's... Man, I've turned the corner. I really do want to see this movie, but he's just always such an asshole.
I saw a trailer for this before Thor, and the person behind me went, oh, I can't wait for this. And I was like, oh, people, all right. People can't wait for Avatar. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so weird because if he wasn't an asshole, like, everyone would be super amped for this, I feel like. He's never made a bad movie, really. Okay, not Piranha, like, The Spawning or whatever, but like if there was a minute where he was the guy responsible for the two highest grossing movies ever.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He knows what he's doing, but he has these delusions of grandeur with Avatar that have been there for 15 years. And I just like, it's good. We all like Avatar, I think.
Yeah.
I just don't see, nobody in the world sees what James Cameron sees in Avatar is the problem.
Let's go through.
She has a very long Wikipedia page.
Escape from Hell's Gate and Death. Dr. Grace August.
Okay, so she's dead.
After being incarcerated by the RDA. I can't read half the shit. No one knows what the fuck I'm talking about.
Stella Blue Coffee's new canned lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee canned lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off.
Quaritch was alerted of the breakout, and without grabbing an exopack, he raced out to the hangar and fired an assault rifle at them before resorting to his wasp sidearm. What about that's for anyone who like does it? Like who are like yeah,
yeah, I love the wasp. That's my favorite.
Although the team managed to escape the compound, Grace suffered a bullet wound to the torso, and Jake attempted to help her live long enough to reach the something.
The tree of souls.
The clan at the tree of souls. To seek Moat's help. After Jake entered his avatar form and managed to bond with and ride a Taruk to the Tree of Souls.
The flying one, yeah.
To the amazement of the Na'vi, he sought help to save Grace from dying. In a trance-like state, the Na'vi and Moat prayed in the hope that Iwo would permanently transfer Grace's consciousness to her avatar body. Mm. Unfortunately, she succumbed to her wound, but before she passed away, Grace told Jake that she was with Iwa. So
okay,
she
became the tree.
She is. Yes.
She's the tree?
She's part of the tree now. No, she's not. She isn't the only thing in the tree, but her life force is now part of the tree.
But the tree explodes at one point.
I think that's so. The tree of life and the other tree are different, I think.
Dude, I have. Oh my
God. I'm gonna rewatch it before.
We should do a party for this movie.
Yeah.
Iwa also
is the Quark still alive.
The All Mother is the guiding force of life. Oh, it's like the Force.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. It's very force
like. It's the little like goo, the little like squishy things.
Yeah, they're like
the little. Yeah. So anyway, her character is dead. Mm-hmm. So I think most people assume that Sigourney would be coming back as a flashback. No. She is playing the teenage daughter, adopted teenage daughter of Jake and Neytiri.
Baller move.
Played by Zoe Saldana.
Cameron has his guys and he supports them.
She's just playing a flat out fucking new character, but she's like, the images released, she's looking at old footage of Sigourney Weaver's character, and she said, like, I guess Sigourney Weaver had to, like...
I'm laughing now. Sorry.
Had to, like, hang out with a bunch of teens to, like... Learn how to become an 11-year-old.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense. Like, don't doubt Cameron. Everything that you just said makes perfect sense.
Steve Buscemi meme.
Yeah.
I'm really not trying to mock this movie anymore because I am looking forward to it at this point. But like, come on, that's funny.
I fucking love Cameron because like, if you're one of Cameron's guys, he'll support you forever, and that includes casting you as a teenager, even though you're like in your 60s.
No. She did the motion capture for that. He just made it a headache for all of the VFX people because, as we know from the Polar Express, like adult faces don't move the same as human faces.
Teenage faces,
human faces. So like, it's either going to look incredibly weird like the Polar Express, or they just had to work overtime to recorrect
You just don't get the way of water, Robbie.
Sorry. I will say the one interesting thing with the mocap is that I would imagine her human size is the same size as a teenage Na'vi.
Mm.
That'd be my guess. So that's kind of nice, maybe. I think. Yeah. She's not on stilts,
They're usually pretty big, right?
I don't... Okay.
They're an awkwardly big creature. Can I say
they're
that?
They're like 9 feet tall.
Na'vi-est? But yeah, they're like... every time I see him in the trailer, I'm like, they should just be human.
As long as she wears that fucking Stanford shirt, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, how about we sell that? We should sell, like, anti-Pandoran shirts. Just like, fuck Pandoran. Stop letting him in there and taking our jobs, those Pandorans.
He's talking about other things as well. In terms of the runtime, he said, I don't want anybody whining about the length. And they sit and binge-watch TV for 8 hours. He said, get up and fucking pee, basically. I don't. That's actually a fine quote. Yeah, that's fine. Movie runtime length is complaints are annoying to me because people do sit there and they watch the shows for fucking.
I think the only difference which you always have to mention is the fact that like while you're binge watching whatever you could be doing anything else you want at the same time in a theater you're stuck and you're literally the only thing you can do is watch
and you can pause.
Exactly. You can pause and do whatever else you need to do. Yeah.
We got to bring back intermissions.
Yeah, so I mean,
I think that would make a huge difference.
There was a movie that had one that I saw recently.
Hateful Eight had one.
Yeah, Hateful Eight did have one. Yeah. Damn, I love intermissions.
That does kind of rip. We're going to talk about. I set a record for pees during Thor Love and Thunder.
You did pee a lot.
You did pee a lot.
I had a moment though that it was wild. You may remember it, but we'll get into that when we talk about Thor Love and Thunder.
Also, our Discord. Quick shout out to them. They have infiltrated the Avatar fan base Discord, and they've just been going in there and just trolling the shit out of them.
Well, speaking of trolls, he said regarding haters of the first Avatar, the trolls will have it that nobody gives a shit and they can't remember the characters' names or we do.
Jake Sully.
Names or one damn thing that happened in Avatar. Then they see the movie again and go, oh, okay, excuse me, let me just shut the fuck up right now.
I think
nobody is saying that.
I say that every time I watch Avatar. I'm like, I should shut the fuck up about James Cameron.
Shut the fuck up.
He's so aggressive. Like, that's the problem with James Cameron is because, like, he just is way... That's far too aggressive.
Yeah.
And maybe if he didn't want people to forget the characters' names, he wouldn't have waited 13 fucking years to make
it. Right, that's the thing. Like, it is his fault. It's your
the
fault
world has
that
moved
it's
on.
Yeah, that it's left the cultural lexicon. But I mean, what?
Yeah.
But I love that quote. Oh, excuse me. Let me just who's watching going, oh, I'm a fucking piece of shit. Fuck me. I'm a fucking moron.
Oh, you know what? We're interviewing the Russos later. We should ask them to make a quote like that. We should tell them, like, hey, can you guys just be like, hey, if you don't like Hercules, you should shut the fuck up already. And we'll make that the quote. Russo brothers say, shut up if you don't like their movie.
Oh, my God. I just. He does it to himself. That's the problem.
Yeah. He's I think he's someone who's like, out of almost maybe any other singular director out there, like he has almost kind of earned it. When you're like the highest grossing director ever making only basically IP, like original IPs, you can kind of do that. Like, well, I guess with the exception
the
of T2.
Original, you know?
Well, yeah, but like T2, I guess, and Aliens would be the bigger ones. But I mean, you're doing so many different original works and you're just destroying the box office every time, and all you pigs are going out and eating the slop every time he makes a movie.
Yeah, we're going to go see Avatar. We're going to buy a ticket.
Absolutely. We'll be there opening night.
I am excited for it. Like, I want it to be great.
Mm-hmm. I think he's earned it. It still makes him look like a dick, but he's definitely earned the right to be like, shut up, piglets. I know you're going to eat it anyway.
For sure.
Yeah.
He said he's also, this is from Slash Film, he's acutely aware of the new goalpost movies need to hit to achieve financial success, stating if we did 20% or 30% less because the market simply doesn't exist anymore, that would be bad. that's the thing, like he is self-aware, and that's why I do respect and like him, but he's so fucking aggressive with shit.
Yeah.
Guy was a truck driver in Canada. Now he's the highest grossing director of all time.
Yeah, and also how the I gotta click on this one. How the fuck is Stephen Lang's character back?
He got shot 3 times with an arrow and suffocate. He should be dead.
Oh, he's an Na'vi now.
Oh, come on. Everyone's a Na'vi now. Yeah. Come on.
He's bigger, he's bluer, he's pissed off.
Why would they make him a Na'vi? Quote? Why would the Pandorans do this?
That's a real quote. They probably stole one of the limp bodies in the tube.
Should be the tagline for the movie. Bigger and bluer.
Bigger, ugh. God damn it. This is turning into like a Chappie all over again.
Is Avatar Way of the Water?
Way of Water?
Way of Water.
Yeah.
The Way of Water.
Yeah.
Is, okay, Jeevan Urbisi is back.
Yeah.
He was like your standard shithead executive.
Don't forget, Vin Diesel, undisclosed role.
Oh,
that's a Boiler Room reunion, not Boiler Room. Wait, yeah, Giovanni Ribisi.
Yeah, no, him and Ribisi, yeah.
And also Saving Private Ryan reunion for Vin Diesel and him.
That's right, Edie Falco's in the movie.
I love that. Nurse Jackie? Yeah. Not Carmelo Soprano, Nurse Jackie.
Also,
oh no,
we did an interview about the show. It's like Toby. she plays a cop.
Oh yeah.
It's like fucking called Toby or some shit.
What that is, yeah.
You guys see the new episode of The Equalizer?
Tommy. It's called Tommy. Tommy. It was on like ABC.
Mm-hmm.
It was canceled after one season. It was on CBS. Tommy. American Police Procedural. Yeah. Legend. She's in Impractical Jokers a couple times.
Is she really?
Plays Hillary Clinton.
Really?
No, huh. I'm not Hillary Clinton. Herself.
Oh.
I read Hillary Clinton. That's below it. Oh, I'm that's dyslexia.
I was like, they don't really get political on IG.
No, she plays herself in Impractical Jokers.
I don't remember her ever being in Impractical. And I've seen her like every episode.
That's pretty funny.
That's crazy.
Huh, and then, she did also play Hillary Clinton in the impeachment American Crime Story, which is just not very good.
Yeah.
That was what an unbelievably not memorable show that was.
Mm-hmm. Didn't even show
just
the
blowjob. I mean, that's just, shout out to, that's a throwback to Trill Bones. He always said it. Nobody better at making something amazing than following up with a bunch of nothingness than Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, big time.
He's the
what
absolute
was his first thing.
Well, he did American Horror Story. American Horror Story sequels, but like
some of those,
the first is always the best with him, and then it just kind of tails off. But he did the People vs. OJ's, obviously fucking
very good.
I never liked that. Hated it.
People vs. OJ?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things of all time. I've watched it probably six or seven times.
They cast OJ better. It might be like the best show ever.
OJ.
But that was the charm with that show, I thought. Some of it was truly horrible.
Yeah.
And then some of it was like, come on, amazing Juice. Television.
David Schwimmer, and that was so funny.
David Schwimmer,
come on, Juice.
He was great.
Come on, Juice.
I've never, like, there will never be anything like that again, in my opinion, in terms of like insanely ensemble cast in something that's crazy relevant to. Because it was like, OJ, it was the anniversary. It was that. It was the ESPN documentary that won best. And then you had like unreal performances. And then you had some that were so fucking bad.
Yeah,
it was just crazy.
Was it Billy Magnuson who played Cato Kaelin?
Yeah, Billy Magnuson played Cato Kaelin.
Yeah.
You had Courtney B. Vance was amazing.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah. Sarah Paulson was incredible.
Sarah Paulson was amazing as well. Sterling K. Brown played Chris Darden. He was great. She played Marcia Clark. But then you had
Schwimmer.
Cuba Gooding Jr. as OJ. And Schwimmer just saying Juice left and right. Yeah. I mean, and Travolta, I will never have a firm opinion if John Travolta was good or bad as Robert Shapiro.
I think he was fine. Like, I don't think he detracted from the movie. I think he was totally fine. But he,
it was no The Fanatic, but it was all right.
Yeah, definitely no Fanatic. Yeah. Oh God,
in terms of Travolta performances.
Yeah,
no Moose
or Gotti for that matter.
What an unreal show. That show was what I mean, and that show was a huge. It was a pop culture moment in that year too. Everyone was watching it.
Yeah,
remember Larry King played himself.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, although to be fair to him, he didn't really age much in that time period.
They put a
slightly more. Yeah, he put a little bit more hair on him.
When
did he die?
Last year.
Yeah, it was like two years ago.
He died.
He
in
looked
January
80. 2021. He looked 80 for 40 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My whole life. So in that way, he aged quite well. Yeah.
I'm happy we got... What was his B-movie alter ego? Larry King's?
Larry B. King.
Larry
right?
B. King, yeah. Brilliant move.
Wait, is that...
I think you're right
was
about
Was I right
that.
On that?
I think you're
I think,
right.
I think so, yeah.
I think everyone else had a B pun involved.
No, I think it was B. Larry King.
Somehow worse.
That rules. That is so fucking stupid.
I'm B. Larry King here. Oh, I'm so stupid.
Oh my God! Him and all they did was they just gave him a lot of hair, and people were, which is what he looked like back in the day. But he back in the day he was like a little more filled out face wise. He was not as old. So and then people versus OJ, he was very just like still kind of like old man, like geriatric, like kind of frail, but with the big hair.
I remember when they first released like the set photos of it, and it was just Cuba Gooding Jr. getting out of his car with the gun, and it's just like he's just like chunky little man starting to play like OJ, and just like you just look nothing like him whatsoever. It was so bad. That was a good chase scene though. They did good with that too, the Bronco.
They did, yes. I mean, the show, it's a wild show because it had moments where you're like, holy fuck, that was like a crazy TV moment. Then it had others where it's like the Kardashians, who are in there just for just because it was like the Kardashian scene.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want you to watch it again, Robbie.
Give it a try.
I never got through it. Never even got to the chase.
Come on. That's like three episodes in.
Yeah, I think I made it too.
I think that's it in terms of non-death news. A bunch of people passed away, unfortunately. I think that's it. Do we have anything else?
I think that was everything that we had on our docket.
No, I'm looking through the thing you sent me. I think we covered
everything. Yeah, just making sure. AMC delivering popcorn in Chicago and Kansas City. If you have
delivering Uber, popcorn?
If you're in Chicago or Kansas City, do that. I'm fucking pissed. It's not in New York. What the fuck?
Usually we're the test market. That's
you
crazy.
So close to a movie theater.
They give me all the Midwest.
I know. I
what the
walk.
Fuck?
I do. I mean, I already do that. But, like, I'd like to try it out.
Yeah.
So are they delivering already made popcorn?
Yep.
I'll be honest, all the popcorn I've had from AMC recently has been very stale. I don't know if it's just on a bad run
there
of constantly
are,
getting old popcorn.
Well,
but,
yeah, I kind of agree
you,
with
you
that.
Do, you
yeah.
do go to the worst theater in the city.
That's also true. But I spread it out. I go to 34th, I go to the Lincoln Center, I go to a couple other ones.
I went to a Marquee Cinemas last week, and the popcorn was amazing.
Ooh, I want to keep that in mind.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, the place with the best popcorn in the world, they're all opening up again, apparently, in California, Arclight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's that Chicago popcorn place? That's really good. Do you know what I'm talking about? We got it there.
Garrett's.
I think we were there. Garrett's, yeah.
Garrett's is unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Garrett's is the cheddar and caramel mix.
Yeah,
it's
really
it's
good.
Unreal. What is this tweet that we tweeted out? Elvis
by the way,
spoilers.
If you haven't watched The Chef, we should...
That's just
or the bear.
Fat Elvis.
With sensitive content? What would this have been? Is it him pooping?
I just marked it as a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler, yeah. Okay. It's just a picture of Fat Elvis.
Okay.
But yeah, watch The Bear if you
haven't watched
it.
I forgot. Wait, how do you mark it as sensitive? You can do that, right?
Yeah.
I might have... Somebody threw a full drink at my face at a bar the other night. Just full on, like Randy Johnson fastball at my face. And I tweeted, I said, it's not me falling down the stairs of the Apple Store. It's close. You can mark sense. I may have to show the bruise for my ass. You've seen it, right?
I've seen it, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Gonna start a rumor. Jeff was fucking this guy's wife.
Yeah.
Wait, someone threw a drink at your face and then you got a bruised ass?
No. There's two separate instances.
No, when I fell down the stairs of the Apple
Store. Oh, I see.
You know that. Well, you know that.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
They made a documentary about it
200 times.
I'll get your live reaction.
Probably took 10 years off his podcasting career.
Yeah, for real.
You know the irony of that moment was is that the Browns were like pretty solid. That was a bad OBJ year. They were beating the piss out of the Steelers. And as I fell down the stairs, they were winning, and everything went wrong after that. I should have known. Like that should have been a sign to like
you got to go back to the staircase and refall down it to get the Browns back on track.
That should have been a sign that if I had been in illegal gambling state at the time to live bet the Steelers.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, they just took Heinz Field. They renamed Heinz Field.
Yeah.
Gooch, a fellow AFC North fan, as a Bengals fan and as a Browns fan. That's good vibes for the rest of the AFC North.
Oh, it's great.
I mean,
Big Ketchup has lost it big time. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Bad news for them.
To no longer have that name, that's big. That's big time stuff.
They're going to be, they should be bad next year. All the gods should point towards them being bad now.
I got to find this picture of, I'm going to say this out loud, it's a sound weird, of my ass. I mean, it's, let's see.
We did a meme once, right, or something like that, where it was like the TVA making sure that Jeff falls down the stairs. I forget what it was.
I think exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, Jeff, like, he like, goes like, oh, almost fell there. And then like a TVA comes in behind him and pushes him down the stairs.
Okay, here we go. Ready? It's not that graphic. I mean, it's my ass.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a tough one.
Holy crazy. Shit.
And I talked about it on this podcast, and once I did that, I basically couldn't sue them.
That is dark purple.
Yeah, it's quite dark.
That is like, that's a for real Bruce.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's worse than I was expecting, Jeff.
Yeah, pretty bad. This episode of Lights, Camera, Barstool is brought to you by BetterHelp. A word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Excuse me, that's the more proper way to say it. A great company. How well would you take care of your car if you had to? You had to keep the same one your entire life, Robbie Fox.
I have had the same really? Car my entire life. Yeah, mm-hmm. So far.
Well, that's how our brains work as well. So PT why not treat Cruiser. Them the same? Yep. Yeah. By the way, I've never been in a Mini Cooper before.
They're fun.
They are fun. My Uber driver was using a stick shift. I don't think that's.
Oh, you shouldn't be. No, I'm not out of that car.
I'm not going to narc on the guy, but I don't think that's allowed. Actually, like I actually don't think you're allowed to have a. You're not. I don't think you're allowed to have a stick shift if you drive an Uber. I was very surprised.
Really?
Oh, really?
I don't think I've ever seen one with a stick shift when I've been in an Uber before.
I've definitely been.
I should have. In the middle of a BetterHelp ad read, I should have like held this guy hostage. I should have been like, should be a free ride, my friend. I will say, I got an Uber yesterday. Got it. Went into ShopRite. Got a rotisserie chicken. Called the Uber as I checked out. Same guy.
Mm. So he's a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just starts lying. He goes, round trip. I go, yep.
Yep. Full chicken in your pants? What is that?
Yeah.
You just hold it, sir.
Plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language, taking power naps, hanging out with friends, family. But there's also BetterHelp Online Therapy. We've used BetterHelp. It's fantastic. It's great. The biggest thing offers video, phone, even live chat online therapy sessions. Because everyone knows if you go to therapy, you do all that. Sometimes going in person sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to do it. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to either. Even if you don't want to see anybody on camera, then you don't have to. Much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can match with a therapist in under 48 hours. Online therapy that offers, like I said, video, phone, live chat therapy sessions. If you feel like you need to do it and you don't want to go meet somebody in person, you don't want to try. Like, even if you live in the city, you don't want to subway back and forth, you know, if you're in a certain area. This is just easier. If you're listening to and you're going to try it out, you get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/lights. It's BetterHelp, BetterHelp, HELP.com/lights. All right, two shows. I elephant in the room. I have people yelling at me about the boys. People yelling about the boys. They're coming to me during the weekend at bars. They're like, hey, I had a guy, he goes, I'll buy you drinks right now if you watch the boys.
Oh.
All right, this Amazon banger. I finally binged and ripped through the Amazon show people been wanting me to see. The Summer I Turned Pretty was fantastic. Great YA series.
That show is so bad. Oh, my
some
God.
Banger music. Terrible. Awful show.
So bad.
So bad. So we watched, if you don't know, Barstool's up a lot of poker people. If you listen to the bracket, Owen had a huge moment on the live stream of poker. Smitty blasted a couple days. He busted out with like 390,000.
Almost 400K, yeah.
Yeah, it was but great. He just had a tough moment. He had a fold with pocket aces called the greatest folds in the history of poker.
It was cold.
Mincy was next to poker legend Phil Ivey, and Phil Ivey wanted nothing to do with him. I love Mincy, but Mincy starts telling a story about like Barstool Sports and like Dave Portnoy and like how we're making waves in social media, and Phil Ivey's like,
yeah, they call me he looks up down here, man.
He looks up. He's like, yeah, he looks up. Phil Ivey looks up to the guy next to him. He gives his fucking look like, what the motherfuck
is this?
Mincy does have a good – Mincy's got a great poker nickname, though. The Destroyer.
The Destroyer.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's amazing.
So I was watching that at the Barstool Shorehouse presented by High Noon with two of our coworkers, KB and Kelly Keith. We were going nuts. KB and I were screaming when they were talking about Owen. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. And then She's like, all right, we should. He goes, you guys need to watch this. We actually watched a bunch of Greg Giraldo roast clips because neither had seen that.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did. I tweeted out the Greg Giraldo roast of Ralphie May when he said, he used to call them fat, and he said, you're the only guy who watches porn and comes and the guy delivers the pizza, which is my favorite.
Ralphie May, all time
what a,
huge
what
man.
A great joke.
Great, great joke.
One of the funniest. One of the funniest people of all time.
Yeah.
Greg Giraldo.
And then she's like, we should watch this show. And we had a couple high noons. We're like, all right, let's watch this. Bad show.
Terrible. It's, bad. So bad. Like, it's so bad.
It's so bad YA. It's unreal. And like just a couple like real cringe moments. And it actually makes me – you know what made me watch my way back yesterday where I watched – I rewatched Not Another Teen Movie because Not Another Teen Movie is truly like perfect parody.
Very good.
But I have not watched The Boys. However, the amount of people who are now offering to give me things to watch The Boys, I don't think I'm ever going to watch it. If you're gonna keep coming up, if you're listening to this, and you're gonna keep coming up to me and giving me free things to watch The Boys, I'm never gonna watch The Boys. People are paying me off to watch The Boys. I'm just gonna not watch it.
I haven't seen season three. People are upset about it on my mentions.
No, they have mixed feelings about the finale. I would say.
No, upset about me not watching.
Oh, okay.
People are yelling at me like they're yelling at Jeff.
I had a guy who had a couple drinks in him. Get your bar stools if you're a Jersey Shore person. Get your bar stool DJ's merch. Guy, yeah, he's like, he goes, it's great. You'd love it. I go, no, my guy, I know I would like it.
Yeah.
I'm just not watching it. Now it's a bit. Now I'm just fucking leaning into it. But now, and actually I was going to watch it. We had a great interview, had a lot of fun about it. But once you start buying me things, I'm gonna milk this for what it's worth.
They're buying stuff for you to watch the show, and you're not watching the show. You're ruining this transaction.
Yeah, but I gotta milk it a little more.
You are now you're
right.
Fraud.
They're gonna break my legs.
Yeah, you're gonna get more drinks thrown at you.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. Maybe it was the boys guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. Ken Jack, as I go, I'm gonna go send him and blow my nose real quick because I'm sure people are like, Jesus Christ, Jeff, blow your nose. Allergy season, babe. Whoever told me to take elderberry for allergies and stuff, amazing. Works great. Huh. I don't believe in shit like that.
That seems like a crackpot cure.
No, it's actually great.
Anytime you're like, yeah, you can fix this if you have a berry, I'm like, nah, it's not going to happen.
Thoughts on The Boys season finale, Ken Jack?
I would say, and I mentioned this right after I had seen it, I thought it was a solid finale, not one where it like blew my mind or anything like that. Because I would say that was where I was at with the end of the first season and even the second season. Like those two finales were awesome, which you have seen both of those. This one, not as potent and not as like I don't know how to explain it without spoiling, but like more stuff should have happened. But I thought it was like satisfying to a degree. What episode was the last one you saw?
Season two.
You haven't watched any yet.
Started season three. No.
Okay. So yeah, there's a lot of great episodes in this one. I thought, especially obviously, Herogasm. I thought lived up to all the expectations because everyone who read the graphic novel, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's a comic book.
Yeah, I've read them before, but like it reads like a graphic novel. I guess it's weird, but like
it's not great.
Yeah,
I think the boys' comics kind of fucking stink. Yeah, honestly,
they're not.
A lot
great
of comic
compared.
Fans say that.
They found that the boys, interesting enough, was made as like an answer to Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
It was like DC originally, the first year it was published.
Now they have both.
And they're like, all right, well, we need something, you know, like realistic superheroes in the real world, like a little bit more gory, down to earth kind of stuff. And they commissioned that, and it's just kind of a cheap ripoff in a lot of ways. But the writers for Amazon have done a really good job of just taking the general premise and making it their own thing.
Yeah, they turn it into what superheroes what they would actually be, which is like egotistical. Like if you're more powerful than every human on Earth, you're going to have a huge ego, and you're going to be corporatized.
Chris, do you watch The Boys?
No, I am not. No,
I think you'd like it too. It's a very very good show.
I'm sure I would.
It's I'm trying to think of like how else to kind of describe the season, but I would say Herogasm is one where all the people who read the books or comic books were like, this is the one, it's like their biggest, best episode or best volume, whatever, and they really did live up to it. And I think the Soldier Boy, Jensen Ackles, was so good in this season.
I love Jensen Ackles.
He was amazing in this season. And I think there's a lot of, like, they had, like, a musical number in one of the episodes that was really cool. A lot of different stuff in this that I thought was awesome.
As someone who watched all 17 seasons of Supernatural, really great.
Supernatural High.
You really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's, like, one of those things where I love trash TV. I love The X-Files. That's, like, one of my top five shows of all time. And that had a lot of the same writers, production, behind-the-scenes people.
How many episodes is Supernatural?
Oh, it has to be at least 300, 350.
That's nuts.
And they're all like 40 minutes.
People are,
but it's like monster of the week kind of stuff, and I love shows like, so Mandalorian is actually kind of pulls off that monster of the week stuff, especially in season one. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, and what was the other show?
Well, Stranger Things. Quick Westworld, by the way.
not starting it.
I did 1.5 episodes. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm
no,
I'm done
not
with
a
that.
Fucking chance.
That's what I hear about Westworld. I've never tried.
Such a
it.
Shame.
Great first season. So great first season.
Stranger Things. That.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought, was it 3 episodes, right? All
two was the
oh, felt, sorry, it's well, two one.
Felt like 8.
Two movies.
Yeah,
it was 2 films. This it ended with 2 films. I have a Thor comp real quick. I think Stranger Things season well 3-2 I guess. Before, I think the Russia stuff is very similar to the Asgard stuff in Thor Ragnarok. It's not bad, but I just don't really need it. Every time we go back to Russia, I'm like, eh.
It was okay like, when they fought the Demogorgon, that was cool. But everything before that in Russia.
Not
stuck.
Bad. Like, it's not bad. Like, the Cate Blanchett stuff was not bad in Ragnarok, but I just never wanted to keep going. I didn't want to keep going back there. I wanted to stay on Sakaar.
The show
I wanted to stay
is
in
just
Hawkins.
So bloated as it is, and I feel like, what it, like especially with the kid stuff, I would say, like, I would have been more interested in the Russia stuff if they were able to develop it better and take away maybe some time from the other things that were boring. But like as it was just an extra thing on top of an already extremely bloated runtime. That's what I thought about at least the first of the 2 episodes. And the ending of it, I thought, of the season, I thought was really cool. I really like how they wrapped it up. I love that final villain battle. Vecna has been one of the coolest and scariest antagonists, like maybe ever in any supernatural thing. But other than that, like definitely this whole season has been a lot of bloat with a lot of exceptional moments powdered in for me.
I thought it was my favorite season of the show. And a lot of that was probably due to how well they handled Vecna. I thought it took balls to like, do we want to talk spoilers or no?
I feel like
I think
to kind
it's
of
like a live event. Basically.
I'll say to connect this season to as much of the first, previous seasons.
Yeah. Correct.
Took balls to do, and it really like hit all of the twists in the part one finale was like amazing. The episode 7 or whatever that was really cool. And
the ending was nuts. Them with the fucking sniper and shit.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That was like insane.
A good way to say it, I think, I didn't need like so much of the first season and what so on explained, but I'm glad it happened.
Yeah. Agreed.
Like it was very cool how they did that because I feel like when that happens typically in shows or movies, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You're like, agreed. I mean, we've been talking about with Star Wars for the last a couple years, whether it's from Han Solo to Rogue One. Some of it's good, some of it's unnecessary, but like there's sometimes you're like, I don't need that explained to me.
Let's say we're doing a little bit of spoiler talk here for anyone listening right now, so miss skipped if you want. Someone should have died. That wasn't Eddie Munster. I don't care about Eddie Munster. Never cared about Eddie Munster.
I never cared about Eddie Munster.
The bat scene was fucking sick. Yeah. With the guitar. That was
great.
That was
but I didn't care that they introduced him 5 minutes ago and that's your big death. Like, you gotta have a main character die, and you have so many that are doing nothing
they
in this series.
Max up pretty good.
Yeah, but like have someone die. Like Max should have died. One of them should, like at least who's the older brother? Will's older brother. What the fuck is his name?
Jonathan
should have been dead. He should have been dead 2 seasons ago.
I'm kind of with you on that because he had nothing to do this season either.
Nothing.
This is
someone.
A consistently bad problem that we have, I think, just in culture as a whole, is that they just can't fucking kill people.
Because they want everyone alive for the final season.
I mean,
it's
the same reason as to why What's-His-Face isn't dead. Fucking Hopper. Yeah. Hopper should be dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I like the character.
Nice reunion.
Yes, I like the character, but like the weight of the You should have. You're right. I would agree with that. There should have been other people who were, because Eddie's death makes too much sense. Like he kind of has.
Everyone saw it coming.
He's their Barb. Yeah. He's this season's Barb. It's Someone did a breakdown. It's like
Kenjack's favorite
Stranger Things
pop culture Barb.
They have hit the same beats. Almost beat for beat every single season. Now, how they've executed it, obviously different results, but it's been the same beats storyline wise. Every single season.
They need a man to die. I just, like, every time they talked about Eddie Munster, I was just like, yeah, he's fine.
I love Eddie. I think that actor, he's about to blow up.
Well, yeah, because fucking Doja Cat wants to fuck him. Yeah.
that's
a pretty big thing.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. That kind of hurt me.
That moment was very, like, that, the guitar riff thing was fucking awesome. Sick. Somebody said that song in the real time came out like weeks before that would have taken place. And they're like, he's just a prodigy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's just a fucking prodigy.
Oh, that's great.
You see him practicing? So
no, like I did not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He actually shreds. Yeah.
The only behind-the-scenes music stuff I watch right now is Austin Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still addicted to Elvis.
I don't know. I think if you're going to have a main death at the end of a penultimate season, you need to have a main character.
Yeah. It's a problem that goes so far beyond Stranger Things, though.
That's true.
It really It sucks.
Yeah.
You know what? I blame George Lucas.
the movie we're about to talk about.
Yeah, that too. And the show we just talked about. I blame George. Though they did something in Love and Thunder that I'm actually a little surprised about. I blame George Lucas for not killing Han Solo.
Yeah.
Had George Lucas killed Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back all those years ago, I think we'd see more character deaths.
Then we get no Chewie, we're home.
That's true.
That was a great trailer. That's maybe one of the best trailer moments ever. Yeah. My God.
Come on.
It was incredible. No, they should actually...
See, and that's why, right there, because we just said the trailer moment was sick.
Okay, yeah. Here's what they should have done. They should have killed Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back and then transfer his consciousness.
Force Awakens is great.
Transfer Han's consciousness into a big Wookiee through the hair, and then you make him... Yeah, and then
through his vest.
Yeah, through his vest. His bandolier, yeah. Oh, watch The Bear on Hulu. Great show. Fantastic show.
A lot
of
great shows this season. I was going through that. It's actually incredible.
Yeah, really, really good show. Watch The Offer,
speaking of Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes, I started that too. Awesome as well.
Yes, I watched a little bit of The Offer.
I thought it was going to stink just premise-wise. I was like, I don't really care. And yeah, Paramount Plus, and it was shockingly good.
Yeah, very good.
I took Ken Jack's recommendation to watch The Terminalist. Mm-hmm. I'm not done with it yet. I'm about halfway done with it. Amazing show.
Yeah.
Shockingly violent. Actually,
very violent.
What I would compare it most to is like the Punisher video game.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree with
that. He does kind of have like a Punisher vibe too.
It is like what every, like, and I love the Punisher show, but like the Terminalist is like what I wish that Punisher show could have reached as far as violence goes. And man,
it is violent as fuck.
It's very violent.
There's some moments where I was like gasping, like, oh my, I can't believe this is on TV.
Production value is also incredible. Yeah, like all the fight scenes, all like the backgrounds, the sets, like, great.
Have you guys checked out the Old Man at all?
Yeah, I watched the first two.
I'm all caught up. It's such a good show. Yeah. Jeff Bridges. That's
a lot of great
Hulu
stuff
as well.
Right now. A lot of great stuff.
Jeff Bridges from The Giver.
From The Giver, yeah.
Yeah.
God damn The Giver.
Thor Love and Thunder. From Taika Waititi. After his retirement is interrupted by Gore the God Butcher, Galactic Killer who seeks the extinction of the gods, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, Jane Foster, who now inexplicably wields Mjolnir as the mighty Thor. Together they embark upon a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of the God Butcher's vengeance and stop him before it is too late. Marvel movie 29, I believe.
Oh, wow.
I believe Wakanda Forever is 30. Also, I want to note, I like Captain, I like Miss Marvel, but it has fallen off a little bit.
It has.
It is not.
Big time.
The charm of the early, that's been a problem of every MCU Disney Plus show except for Loki for me.
Mm. First episode, Loki's, best episode.
Loki's the only one that has gotten, I think, better as it goes along. And I think there's a lot of obvious reasons why.
WandaVision to a degree.
WandaVision, yeah.
I think WandaVision got worse. But I thought it got better. Like, I thought the peak of WandaVision was mid-season.
Okay, no, that's... Okay, I would agree with that. I just think the last episode was not good.
Yeah, agreed.
Though, that is the one I'll excuse on the COVID issues. Because they did say it was kind of a mess to read. Like,
Doctor Strange was supposed to show up. He really should have in that. Yeah, that would have been a big bang.
But Loki's the only one that I will say, that I'll say is good to really good to great range. I don't think anything else
better.
Is close to that. Yeah. I think WandaVision maybe is close to that, but everything else, not even close.
Agreed.
Thor Love and Thunder.
Oh, they also showed Miss Marvel in like the opening crawl while we were watching.
Yes.
Too. She's in the thing.
I noticed that
cool.
Miss Marvel was in
time,
it.
Yeah.
A couple of the Sam Wilson was in it as Captain America.
Oh, and he got a director for his movie.
Yeah,
he's the guy who did The Cloverfield Paradox, one of my least favorite movies ever.
That's terrifying, by the way.
Yeah,
terrifying.
That's not a headline you read and go, oh, fuck yeah. You read it and you go,
oh, no.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's
people
not
said
good.
He made a movie after that was good. Loose, I think it was called.
Yes.
The guy that
Luce.
I haven't
L-U-C.
Seen
oh, that good? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Good movie. Yes.
All right. So maybe he's improving.
I was thinking like Loose, like L-O-O-S-E.
That's
folks, we never want that, do we?
That's from a different streaming platform, Ken Jack.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Big time.
I did see Loose. Loose was pretty solid. That's the one with
Tim
Roth. Yeah, Tim Roth.
Kevin Octavia Harrison. Spencer.
Tim Roth from?
Octavia Spencer.
Well,
the Incredible Hulk.
Many things. Incredible Hulk, number one.
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. He was the
Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes.
He's the main bad ape in that movie. General Ape.
General something like that. Yeah, it is. What is it?
General Monkey.
General Ape.
Planet of the Apes. Tim Burton.
God, it's be like something really dumb. Like General Primate.
Rules.
It was some really aggressive name. I got
General Fade.
Yeah, that's a cool ass name. That's a cool ass name though. That's sick.
Fade. What a that movie rules in all the worst ways.
Tell you what, if I had like a wide receiver on my team called Thade, I'd be like, this is the coolest guy of all time.
Well, we should have included him in the draft we did.
Of cool names.
Yeah, a cool football name.
General Thade.
General Fade Ralpha.
I like this movie. I'd say the movie was a blast. It's a fun fucking movie. Here's the thing. Is it a fun movie that you think is good, or is it a fun movie that you think is just kind of fun? It is way too fucking short. I'm going to say that right off the top. This could have been better than Ragnarok. This could have been one of the better Marvel movies. It is way too fucking short. And it's way too short in a sense that it just doesn't allow you to develop, I think, I'm not going to say gore. I think gore is good enough. I think Jane's character arc suffers more than anyone else, which is a shame. Because I think even adding a little bit to, like, her getting Mjolnir, right? I think it's missing like 20 minutes.
That's what we said. Yeah. Me and Clem were saying the same thing. 20 minutes is what it needs.
I like it, though. I think a lot of it comes down to, though, do you like Taika Waititi's directing and writing and style of movie?
For sure.
I think if you don't love it, this is a movie you might actually fucking hate. Because it is very jokey. It's a rom-com.
Yep.
This movie's a rom-com, which I appreciate. And if you know me, I appreciate the weirder Marvel movies more than anything else. I think those are the ones that will always get me in. I like this movie. I saw it twice. I liked it more the second time, honestly.
Same.
I think Chris Hemsworth is so fucking good in this role. Not that that's surprised anybody. He is, this is maybe crazy to say. I think he's as good as Thor as Tony Stark, as Robert Downey Jr. was as Tony Stark.
And I think to his credit, too, he had to basically completely turn around the character of Thor, which Iron Man never had. Robert Downey Jr. never had to do with Iron Man because he always had the right vision with it with Jon Favreau moving forward. But, like, they had to take Thor from being this moody bitch in the first two movies to being, like, the funniest Avenger, the most entertaining Avenger. Yeah. Like, I would say, out of the remaining Avengers left, he is the number one. Like, he's, I think, the best Avenger that's left.
It's him and Benedict, right? Those are the two.
He's easily the most popular.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was one of the worst.
I saw it when I was
worst.
Trying to get a friggin' ticket to this movie. It was very hard to get a ticket to this movie on opening night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. AMC broke again. That was the problem for me.
Yeah.
$300 million open weekend.
Yeah, that's nuts.
By the way, people think, like, I'm sorry, but maybe some people have superhero fatigue, Marvel fatigue. It doesn't exist overall. Mm-hmm. I was at a concert last night. I went to see 5 Seconds of Summer.
Saw that.
That's my guy, the drummer, Ash and Irwin, my dude.
Oh, you know the drummer?
Yeah, who's over at GMA. Cool. Yeah. I would say the audience, except for me and my friend, mostly in their young 20s. Mm-hmm. They played the Thor Love and Thunder trailer over the video before the movie. It's like a commercial. As loud of a scream as anything I heard all night. And that was loud. It was screams all night. There is an undying love for Marvel that is not going away anytime soon. Like, crazy screams in the trailer play.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I turned my phone, I'm like, well, yeah, it's superhero fatigue.
People were going nuts in my theater opening night. It was cool. I got the double experience, the press screening and then the opening night, like Marvel fans gasping, laughing, going nuts. Yeah. I also think what enhanced my enjoyment of the movie was we got two screenings, or the press screening and then the one I went to.
Yeah.
People were uproariously laughing. It's like when you see a comedy with like a packed theater, it helps.
Yeah.
I think that actually helped my enjoyment of the movie twice.
Yeah. One of the loudest laugh theaters I've ever been in was Mr. Deeds.
Without
a doubt, yeah.
Oh yeah, when he said he made his own Frosty, the place erupted. I dropped a couple Marvel scores recently because I did kind of a bit of a rewatch. Doctor Strange: Multiverse of Madness down to an 84. A bunch of them I dropped down a little bit. This slides in at an 85. I love this movie. I think it's funny as shit, and the music is amazing.
Really good.
I think Taika Waititi's ability to really weave music into the movie is right up there with James Gunn. James Gunn probably a little better. But man, it's funny. It's charming. I like the rom com aspect. I love the final battle too with all the kids. I thought it was great.
So good.
So different. It's so fun. It's weird. But man, this should have been way better. This should have been up there with Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
It really should have been. I don't know why it's so fucking short.
Yeah. And they said, like, the original, and don't start to release the Taika cut, but they said the original cut was like 4 hours long.
Said it this morning. He will not do it.
Never going to
do
it. Well, one, because they're getting fucking sued by Lena Headey. Isn't he suing Marvel?
Lena Headey. She was in it, right?
Yeah, she had a scene cut. Jeff Goldblum had a scene cut.
Peter Dinklage had a scene cut.
Yeah.
I don't. It's a bummer because I think this is a really, really good Marvel movie, but it's not great. It's not in the top tier, and it's not for a reason of being bad, because you're just like, I feel like it's missing like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Ken Jack, what'd you give it?
I gave it an 86, and I think that the movie, more than anything, is just kind of in sort of the same vein you were saying. It's just frustrating because you see the potential in the movie while you're watching it. You're like, this should be so much better, and it could be, like you were saying, better than Ragnarok. It could be in that elite tier, but it's just kind of hamstrung by like these little issues. Like the length was so crippling in this, because you have all these cool characters, like especially Christian Bale as Gore, I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
But he has no screen time. He has less screen time than Korg. That's fucking crazy when you get an actor of the profile of Christian Bale and you don't give him enough screen time in your final edit. That's insane to me. But I thought he was fantastic. I thought a lot of the, like you were mentioning, the soundtrack, Guns N' Roses, was incredible. But it's just, you have a movie that's way too short, like a half hour too short, to develop people like Natalie Portman as Lady Thor. Or no, what'd she call herself?
Mighty Thor.
Yeah, Lady. Yeah,
or Dr. Jane Foster.
Dr. Jane Foster,
my theater went nuts when she said that.
Yeah. You saw a bunch of doctors in your theater.
I was stunned. I was like, that's the line that we went nuts for?
But yeah, when you have a movie that you want to develop both of those characters again, you want to redevelop Natalie Portman and you want to develop Gore the God Butcher, you need more time for them to like kind of set in. On the other hand of things, though, I think it's one of the funniest Marvel movies. It's like really a pure comedy in that sense. Like you mentioned it too with the laughs. That's like the most I've heard a theater laugh in years upon years upon years. Yeah. Like it is so goddamn funny. Like, even the bit with the Mjolnir and Stormbreaker, like with the ex-girlfriend.
Ex-girlfriend
shit.
That was a brilliant bit. Yeah.
It was so funny.
The goats. People loved the goats.
I didn't like that. The goats were too. It was funny the first time. Then I was like, all right, I'm done with the goats.
Both times, people were going nuts for the goats. I was like, all right, the fucking goats. That's a meme from about a decade ago, but we're in.
Yeah, we're back in with it. But there's a couple other things I really liked with it too. Like the some of the battle sequences, like you're mentioning, the kid one I thought specifically was really cool. I think the final fight between Thor and Gore was a little bit underwhelming in a sense. Like it was just pretty standard. I thought they could have done something. Maybe it's because we're a little spoiled because we saw like the music fight between Strange and other Strange. But there's, I think just the humor is the big thing that takes us up a level compared to like more sloppy movies. And that's just really Taika Waititi's influence. And partially what docks it down, though, is that it was a little tonally messed up, if that makes sense. Like the comedy was undercut by like, oh yeah, Jane has cancer.
Yeah.
Like that is very, like, that's very tough things to have like in the same movie when you're really jammed into the short runtime where you have to develop all these other things as well. Special effects were wonky at points. The mask was fucked. Like people
James
mentioned that
mask and both of them. Both of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was one
scene on the omnipotent city where she just puts the mask on and like it looks like so
I think bad. I've lost my ability to recognize bad CGI. It doesn't bother. I just don't see it.
The worst scene for me in this was the very first scene where you see like a god with a big gold headdress.
Yeah, that one
was
bad.
That looked so bizarre.
I thought the when he's talking to Heimdall's son, Axel. And Axel's face pops up. Yeah, I thought that looked
like some quick could little, do.
But yeah, I'm with Jeff. The CGI stuff really never bothers me too much.
Yeah, but
I think the first god, I think we have not learned how to do regular sized humans as larger humans.
That's what I thought it might have been.
You notice
as well.
That?
Yeah.
We can't do they're big
scale
people.
Them up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
James Cameron has.
Yeah, he figured it out. There's a couple other things too, just like minor issues, I would say. But other than that, like it's just fun, it's entertaining, and I think that's the primary usage or primary like, point of existence for every Marvel movie. Like you're not going there for super prestige or anything like that. Trying to think of what else was kind of bothersome. I just really wish it was longer, though. That's the
I mean,
that was
my really only complaint because I the music I fucking loved. Chris, when the first thing I thought of was I figured you would hate the humor.
Mm.
You must have despised the humor. The humor is so not up your alley.
But that's not true. That's not true. Jojo Rabbit is one of my 20 favorite movies of all time.
No, I just meant this movie.
Oh, this okay. I love the first third of this movie. I thought it was awesome because it was everything I hoped it would be. The music was great. The action was great.
I like that first. By the way, to what you just said, the god looked her. I did think the opening gore part was like great.
It was a great scene. Great scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the stuff with the Guardians. I mean, they're in this very little. So if you're coming to this movie expecting to see a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy,
but did you think did you think they were woven in well? Because I was like, oh, that was kind of a nice like addition. Like it makes sense. And then
I wanted to see way more of them.
Was my Guardians of the Galaxy? Yeah.
Yeah. So
I wonder if
James
Gunn put a stop to that. Was like, no, you can't do.
I don't know if they did, but I wonder if it was a contract thing with them. Where they're like, I don't know. That was wondering that too.
They also just clearly didn't have the time for whatever reason. So
right, yeah.
Include that.
So I love the first third. I thought it was excellent, and I'm like, man, I was hearing some mixed things about it, but this is great. The problem is the movie becomes what I was worried it was going to be, because we all really like Thor Ragnarok a lot. But when I came out of Thor Ragnarok, I said, wow, that was really good. That was easily the best Thor movie. And there are still people. It's a little bit like No Way Home. There's people who think I don't like that movie because I don't think it's the best movie ever. It's the one Marvel I don't. There's people who think that movie is better than any Avengers movie. I just don't get that. I think it's good. I think it's a lot of fun. And here, this movie doubles, triples, and quadruples down on the few things I didn't like about Ragnarok, which is there's no point where the movie ever takes itself seriously at all, which would be fine. But you have these bits of humor that go on and on and on. A lot of them very awkward. A lot of them very unfunny. And you guys are talking about the runtime. I have no issue with the runtime. I have an issue with the pacing, because you have that scene with Russell Crowe that is, I'm 10 minutes longer than it should have been. You could have used that runtime to enhance Gore's character. You could have used that to develop Natalie Portman's character. And you brought it up as well, Ken Jack. Tonally, this thing is such a mess. I mean, you have a character, and it's weird because it's written by Taika, who did Jojo Rabbit, which is a comedy that is set during maybe the darkest part, like in the history of the modern world, right? Like the Holocaust, like the worst thing of all time. And yet, no point in that movie did it ever feel awkward. Here, you have a character who is dying of cancer, like as bad as an event can possibly be. And yet it's interwoven with fucking hijinks. Like, I thought somebody was going to trip on a fucking banana peel at some point, given the way that like the humor was going in this movie. So I understand why people are liking it. It is well directed. I love the Shadow Realm sequence. I think
that
that's
was really cool.
Sequence. That's the one sequence where the movie gets back on its Ritalin and actually settles down for a second. And you see Gore being a threat. And again, Christian Bale, like one of the great actors of all time, stepping in here. And I would have liked to have seen more of them. And you get to the end, because I was really waiting for the very tail conclusion. Because one thing about JoJo that I love, one thing about Ragnarok that I really liked, and even like some of his, zanier movies, like What We Do in the Shadows, have a heart for them that's kind of undeniable. So I was waiting to get to the end of the movie. I'm like, all right, here's where they're going to pull at the heartstrings. I'm going to tear up. And I just realized, like, you know what? Jane Foster's just kind of boring. And the movie just didn't really move me the way I wanted it to. And so I'm not crazy about this. I like it more than Doctor Strange. My rating might not reflect what I gave Doctor Strange at the time, but at least I appreciate the fact that this was really attempting to be its own narrative. I think that the problem I had with Doctor Strange is the movie stops for 45 minutes to so Jim Halpert can play cosplay. But beyond that, typical curmudgeon shit on my end. But I had the movie have made me laugh the way Ragnarok did, I would have totally let it pass. But yeah, I think that there's a lot, just too many inconsistencies here from a narrative standpoint for me to really recommend it.
What did you think of? I know you mentioned Russell Crowe. I thought Russell Crowe was awesome in this.
Yeah, see, I love that. He's one of the funniest characters. That's probably a big difference between us and you. I actually love that scene.
He was amazing. Was tremendous.
He was so funny.
I liked the movie for me.
I liked the way it started. I just thought it went on and on and on for so long. To a point where I was just kind of bored by it. And also, Marvel is exceptional with continuity. I feel like, even beyond, you look at Star Wars or X-Men, like there are lapses everywhere. Marvel's pretty good. And maybe I missed something, because I don't really like this in movies. Was it ever established at any point in the previous movies that Heimdall had a kid?
I don't think so. I don't think they mentioned on purpose.
Like, this is a nitpick, but I kind of don't like that. Where it's just like, oh, hey, it's like they do that when they bring in the zany cousin in the seventh season of a sitcom. It's like, hey, he's got a kid now. Like, okay,
Axel?
He's like, I want to be called Axel.
Yeah, he's like, call me Axel.
And Korg in the background is like, GNA, bro.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny.
I had a follow up on the
Russell God's thing.
Russell Crowe. And, well, we're in spoiler sections of Hercules, maybe.
Damn. No, the end. I did. Oh no, I think to the point of the end though. I liked Gore's end. I thought that was a nice way to do it, as opposed to like, oh, he's just going to get blown up by Mjolnir and Stormbreaker. Like,
it was
just
more clear on what was happening the second time I felt. Did you feel the same way? The whole
actual wish
spoilers
sequence.
We're going into the Eternity thing. Like, confusing on the first watch a little bit.
Oh, where
I was like, what's going on here?
I liked how that ended, though. And that's a nice, which is kind of funny, because look at some of the endings for, like, the best Marvel villains. They all kind of have unorthodox endings.
Killmonger, I think, of right
Thanos. You could argue Thanos' main movie, he doesn't even die.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
The Thanos people like. The Thanos people really recognize.
He has a very peaceful ending because he dies with the reverse snap.
Yeah.
Killmonger basically kills himself.
Yeah.
Kind of. He's just like, no, let me just die.
Yeah.
And then Gore dies, but dies like happy because his kid comes
back. They subverted the expectation too, because while we were watching, and the second that they mentioned, oh yeah, we have this thing that can grant any wish. I'm like, oh, he's gonna wish away her cancer. Yeah.
Which I like a lot. But see, I think that's it. The weird thing I wrote in my written review was I liked every place we were in this movie. There was never a point where I'm like, ah, come on, let's go. I just wish there was more of certain things, especially the Jane Foster stuff, because it would have made her end significantly more impactful.
Yeah, she was the one we needed the most of, yeah.
Where I wouldn't say that about Ragnarok. We're truly like some of the stuff on Asgard and Ragnarok, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's speed it up already. Let's get back to Sakaar. So, but overall, Ragnarok was just a better movie by a solid step up. Robbie, you've seen it twice. Thoughts?
I agree with pretty much everything you guys have said about the runtime, about Ragnarok being better. I am like a Taika Waititi stan. I love his sense of humor. Korg is my favorite MCU side character. Mm-hmm. Everything Korg says makes me laugh. So I was definitely a little bit biased in that way. I'm a Guns N' Roses fan. So this movie, I mean, you get Terminator 2 uses Guns N' Roses great. And then you get The Wrestler, where he comes out to Sweet Child of Mine at the end of that movie. And that is like one of my favorite uses of a song in a movie. And that's actually because Mickey Rourke called up Axl Rose and was like, hey, you know, I don't know if we have the budget for Sweet Child of Mine, but can we just use it? And he was like, send me the movie. He watched it and he was like, fuck it, use it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then the ending of this, the final Guns N' Roses song that they use, I think beats all of them.
Is it November Rain in the middle?
It's November Rain for the final battle. It's this guitar solo. And that was just like an instantly iconic MCU moment to me, in the same way that the Immigrant song was in Ragnarok, I felt. And I love the actual ending, like the final line from Korg, where he kind of like, I guess, reveals the title. Like, they call them Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder.
I thought that was such a nice like ribbon on the movie.
I thought in general like the usage of the kids was nice, because I think
that could have been a disaster and it wasn't. So
It could have just been just so. It could have been very like Finn and Rose, Last Jedi. You know, where you're like, you're like, ah, I kind of feel like that was a waste of time now. Like,
it's like funny lines. Like when the kid was like, just get out of here. Like,
it was a creepy scene when Gore was in there, but I liked that like, it wasn't just Thor and Jane releasing them and they're back. Like, they had to be used.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like a really nice way to integrate them. And again, feel different. That's all I really like. That's why that's why Ms. Marvel has kind of fallen. It was different at first, and now it's not anymore. It feels like just everything else.
Agreed.
And the more, again, that's preference thing. The more Marvel MCU movies specifically stray away from the same, I'm just going to kind of like them more. And that's it. It was like, I mean, it's not like revolutionary to have the kids fight. Like, there are big battles. But it was something that, like I said, it subverted expectations.
The movie as a whole, though, is like you said, like a romantic comedy. Like,
being
able to tell that to people, like, oh, the MCU has a romantic comedy. We could watch this one. Like, that's a drawing factor for me as well in the variety, like adding the variety to the MCU. I like that.
Yeah.
But I wanted, of course, another 20 minutes onto it.
I also wanted, like, more Valkyrie, wanted more, like, a lot
more
of characters.
Valkyrie, more Gore, I mean, we got enough Thor.
I'm surprised Valkyrie hasn't been given a show yet.
Yeah, that
out
is
of all the things that they've decided to move forward with, that
is
felt
Tessa
like
Thompson
that
too
feels
busy?
Like the simple.
Probably actually,
you with know,
Creed
I saw
and all that.
I saw a Vanity Fair interview where it was Taika and Tessa Thompson, and they were just like talking about scenes in the movie, and they basically make fun of the CGI and they make fun of the editing, which is wonky at points. And like, I was like, that's a weird way to market your own movie, where it's like, yeah, we fucked these things up.
She was good on Hot Ones.
She was good on Hot Ones.
He's been on this press tour, and I love Taika. Kind of maybe this is just his sense of humor, but kind of a giant prick.
I mean, he's the most insincere person maybe in the world.
Okay, I'm glad I'm, because I love his movies, but like, Did you see the thing he said about director's cuts where he goes, all director's cuts suck and I never watch them or something like that? He was like, yeah, no, he's because they asked him about the cut scenes from this movie. And he goes, there's no director's cut. Director's cuts are stupid. All of them are bad.
That's got to be
like, that was like a blanket statement like that.
It's got to be a top down thing from Marvel, because I think every single time a director gets asked about director's cuts, they all just kind of shut it down immediately.
Yeah, true.
That's a good point. There's been 29 Marvel movies and not a single one is even like entertain the idea.
They
of the
do sometimes do a little. They release those deleted scenes, but even then, it's not.
They're
going to
be at Hall H, by the way.
I saw that
at Comic Con, which is
they're revealing some X-Men 97
I can't
stuff.
Wait for that.
First look. It's going to be like a mega panel. I don't know what they're going to show, but they've kind of reserved those typically for D23.
Do you think first look at Wakanda Forever?
Oh, I'm actually shocked we haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, that no, that's November.
When does that come out?
I think so, like November 11th, 12th.
D23 is in September in Anaheim. Wow. So you will get a lot of stuff at D23, but I think they just kind of want to take back Comic-Con a little bit. So there's going to be some big stuff there. There's also going to be...
Marvel not doing Hall H at Comic-Con would be so weird.
Yeah, but, they've kind of skipped out on it, though.
But, like, why? That's such a weird, like, come on. You're not bigger than Comic-Con.
D23 was, like, the big reveal for the last time they did this. But that was over... It was over YouTube.
Yeah, it was because
of COVID.
I don't think DC's doing fandom this year either. I think they're going straight back to Comic Con.
We've seen them reveal fandom 20 times.
I liked fandom.
Every DC property is going to Comic Con except for the Flash. I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
then
there's a huge Black Adam Hall H event.
That you could say that for the last like 15 Comic Cons. Everyone's like, oh yeah, we're doing Black Adam this time. Do you remember
and the Flash
DC fandom? I remember watching the Rock introducing Black Adam, and this had to be 3 years ago. And he's like, "Yeah, I got Black Adam coming out soon. Still not out."
Did you see the air cut at cut air on Twitter said most electrifying one in the DCEU? Has Black Adam seen what fried Dr. Brains look like? # release the air cut. And the Rock replied, "No, because Black Adam doesn't give a fuck."
That was great. Shout out Dwayne.
That's a good one, Rocky.
I loved that.
That's like
I love him shutting down.
I kind of like to think that is actually the Rock. Like there are some tweets that are very clearly his team, and there's some that are very clearly him. I like that him. He's like,
oh, I think that's him.
He's like, oh, hold on a second, I'm replying to this.
Yeah,
I think shut that's the him. Fuck up.
Just like when he replied to me with the Tom Cruise ask because I was promoting Zoa in it. That was definitely him for sure. Not an intern that did that.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, I think scores may differ. We all kind of have the same feeling on it. I think we may like it a little different up and down. But I think the consistent, the Jane Foster stuff, I wish there was more. I would have added a little more weight to it. Because I think if you're going to put such a heavy story like the cancer thing into the movie, you need to have either more of it. Because if it's too little of it, it's kind of like, oh, hold on.
That was a weird plot device to use.
Give us a quick second. But I mean, it works. And that is not like a new thing they made up. That is a Jane Foster, I believe, right? That's a Jane Foster comic origin.
I didn't think they were going to do that either.
I thought everyone assumed she was just going to be Thor.
Yeah.
They thrust you into it right away. The first time you see her, she's like coming out of an MRI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I just wish she was more sincere at points. That's really my only complaint.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that scene in the Shadow Realm in all black and white when they're like all kind of held up and Gore is like talking to each one
of them.
That
was amazing.
He's called the axe in terms going of, off to like that was awesome.
More of that. More Gore. Yeah. You have Christian Bale. Use him, dude.
Atheist Bale in this
one. Atheist Bale, yeah.
The biggest offender for me. The biggest problem or the biggest scene that really offended me during this movie was they're in New Asgard and they're like, all the kids had just been taken. They're all in there freaking out.
Yeah.
And Thor appears, looks like he's about to go up and give like a big speech and rally everyone. He gives a speech and then it just kind of goes off into like jokes and he jumps to the ceiling and it just kind of falls apart. And I was like, damn, I kind of wish Thor had just given a speech and gotten everyone together, like stepped up, been the hero there.
Mm.
And I was like, just be sincere for that moment. There's a couple moments in the movie where I'm like, just tone the joke down, be sincere for 2 seconds and then get back into the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the tone gets messed up there. Yeah,
yeah, which is weird because Taika is so good at balancing that. I mean,
true.
Yeah. I'm for the Wilder People, JoJo, even Thor Ragnarok balances a lot of that. It's close to being great. It really is so close to being a great movie for me.
I really do think that with Thor, because like the one issue people had with the first two Thor movies, mainly the second one, I actually like the first one quite a bit and think it's underrated, but is that they felt like he was a little bit bland, and really right around, I would say Age of Ultron, but especially with Ragnarok, he became, you know, a lighter character, funnier character. I wonder if they've overcompensated too much. in that direction. Because you have scenes like the one that Gooch just mentioned where it's like you kind of want that big heroic Thor moment and you don't really get it. I thought the way they used him in Endgame was brilliant, but yeah.
I was going to say Infinity War Thor is like peak Thor for me, probably.
That's his, yeah. I mean, that's
his probably, entrance in that movie. Probably
my favorite scene from all the MCU. Yeah.
Him with the Guardians, like, making all those jokes, I thought was really funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, him with the Guardians was very funny.
He's good with the Guardians timing in this movie, too. In the brief time he spent with the Guardians, I thought he was funny when he gives them their own ship.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
take this. Yeah, that was right. That was hilarious. Yeah.
I think that there's just like a fine line you got to walk with it. And for Thor, like in those first two movies, he was just—he was basically like a DC character in the middle of the MCU, where it's like just this gloomy, depressed asshole that no one likes. And like they turn him into—I like how he's more lighthearted now because I think Chris Hemsworth has great comedic chops.
Oh, he's so—he's funny.
He's come along so well.
So
I think that where they are right now is Thor should stay more than anything else. But I do agree that it does hurt when you're trying to give a dramatic moment and it's hard to like undercut what you've now turned the character into.
Yeah.
I have I think Thor 2 is underrated. I think it's better.
You're probably
than
the only human
one.
Being that,
that I know. I think I'm the only person.
No, that take has been showing up more and more on
it's
Twitter.
It's a properly like, rated movie.
It's becoming Thor 2 is actually
people
underrated.
People act like it's like the worst MCU movie by far. I would rather watch Thor 2 than Iron Man 3. I'd rather watch Thor 2 than the first Thor. I'd rather watch Thor 2 than
Hulk. I think I would agree on the Dark World Iron Man 3, but that's like at that point. I mean, you're talking about
the bottom barrel.
Listen, it's towards the bottom for sure, but I don't think it's the no doubt worst. Like
Malekith.
Do you like it more than Eternals? Do you like it more than Eternals, Robbie?
I might. I don't know. Like Eternals,
I might too.
It's more fun than Eternals, right?
It's the depressing ass movie. It's pretty fucking. It's very dark. Like even the filters
Loki,
that Bernal uses in it, it's like
the,
so
the scene
dark.
With Loki on the green atmosphere planet where like he kind of dies but then comes back and all that. Like that's a sick scene.
The making fun of Loki dying over and over again was very.
Oh,
funny.
The tattoo that he got on the back of
the RIP
Loki
and the tattoo bit.
RIP
Loki.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I like how they did that too in this movie. They did a good job of, I think, like recapping anything for people that maybe didn't watch Thor movies and they're hit with someone else. Yeah. They did like, here's everything you need to know, and now we can move forward.
You did not have to see the first two Thor movies to enjoy this.
Very universal humor too. Not a lot of it was like tied into other MCU stuff.
Yeah, and it was refreshing not getting a mention of the multiverse. I will say that.
Yes, to go away from multiverse stuff was nice for a little bit. That's Thor Love and Thunder.
Should we mention?
I mean, I really don't have much to say about the post-credits scene.
It was,
I mean, the first post-credits scene
was cool.
Yeah,
I was pretty.
Wait, you're talking about the Valhalla one or the
the Hercules one?
Okay, yeah, the Hercules one was cool. Because it's what's his name from?
Roy Kent. I don't know what his real name is.
Roy Kent.
Roy Kent.
Yeah. It's just so funny seeing him because he looks and it just lends credence to that whole theory that he's actually not a real person. It's just a CGI person because he was extremely CGI'd in that post credit. But I don't know.
The next movie could literally be titled Thor versus Hercules.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
I would love that. My God.
I'll tell you what wasn't CGI. Idris Elba's wig.
Yeah.
It's back.
Dreading
son.
Also, when Natalie Portman showed up in that, it was like, it was weird when she was just like,
I did not like that.
I like the thought of that scene, catching up with them, like, all right, that's a nice
thing. I think that's something
thing,
you save for the next Thor. Mm. Or another movie. I don't think you. Yeah. I think you kind of leave her dead.
Yeah.
For the time being. You know what I mean?
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Would have been nice seeing
Heimdall looking down like, oh, Thor took care of my son or something like that. Ooh. Catching up with him in that way, but.
Did like them bringing back all the actors? Like having Matt Damon as Loki again. And then like, they're
both McCarthy too.
Where they're like, is it too soon to start making something about this? Yeah. And like, there's never too soon for art. And I thought that was pretty funny.
I did not hear a no.
Yeah, I didn't. Let's get to work. I thought that was pretty funny.
Also, all the actors' kids.
Oh,
and
Melissa McCarthy.
Chris Hemsworth's daughter is Love.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
I mean, I thought the ending scene was very nice. Yeah, like you said earlier.
Bale's kids were in there. Rex Bale.
Rex Bale. Great name.
The one Rex. Screener thing is I broke my pee record. Quickest return to the bathroom I've ever had. I went to the bathroom.
You were quick.
By the way, I'm great at sensing the moment. I got up for a moment. I looked it up on Wikipedia once the movie came out. I didn't miss shit.
No, you didn't miss anything.
I'm good at sensing the moment. And then I went to the bathroom, sat back down for it had to have been 90 seconds.
Mm.
And I don't know that you heard me, but I leaned into Rob and I said, this is unreal. And I got up and I walked out again. I a full-ass pee. It was a full pee, followed by another full pee 90 seconds later.
That ain't right at your black.
I didn't even finish the whole Diet Coke.
and I drank two banana ices.
Yeah, I don't think you pissed once.
That's <didn't>. Crazy.
I might not.
Fucking early
there,
too.
Like an hour.
I polished off the. Yeah. I didn't eat lunch that day. I polished off the whole tub of popcorn before even.
Same. My popcorn was gone before the movie started.
It was good though because we actually got a seat this time, which was nice.
Yeah.
Guy in front of me dumped in Sour Patch Kids and peanut M&M's.
I saw that. Yeah.
That's too much.
Too much.
Those are. That's too many flavors.
I don't like the Sour Patch Kid texture with the popcorn texture.
Yeah. Didn't.
I'll go off what. Richard Roper told me when I met him at the Barstool Chicago office, did a pod with him and Eddie, a dog walk. He said, I mean, he's like an OG, I mean, Ebert and Roper, like OG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Movie review guy. He said, don't take notes in a theater if you're going to do reviews. Ooh. Saw people, two people behind us taking intense notes. He goes, you got to take notes maybe like the second time. He said, like, watch the movie in full.
As a viewer.
Like,
watch it.
And now I'm someone who just got up and peed three times in a movie. But the point is, don't have your head in a notebook if you're going to review. I'll never do that.
No, I never do that.
Old fuck, he brought out like the leather-bound book every time we'd have to see the New York Times guy. Oh, my God.
Guy stinks.
That's funny because Roger Ebert was famous for taking notes during movies.
Yeah, Roger's like, no, I never. And he asked me, do you take notes? He goes, never.
But he also thought Home Alone 3 was better than Home Alone 1. True. So keep maybe
grain of salt. Grain of salt.
That's it. Thor. I don't know what we're going to do next week. We got to figure that out.
Cherry
because,
could do.
Yeah. Well, speaking
Cherry?
Of Russo Brothers, the Gray Man is out. Movie? But the Gray Man is out in theaters then Netflix week after. I think we're going to wait for it to come out on Netflix because I just want more people are going to see it.
Yeah.
We are interviewing them today, so that will be out.
Yeah.
Sure. I wonder if
are they coming in?
No. Zoom over in a few hours.
What else is there? Pause of Fury, The Legend of Hank.
Yeah. I watched that animated sea movie. I think it's called The Beasts of the Sea.
Book clubs are screaming everywhere because Where the Crawdads Sing comes out this week.
I think it's going to be really good.
But the mom's book clubs are going to be fucking flocking to that.
Daisy Edgar Jones, she's hot right now. She's hot right now.
She is in absolutely everything. Uh-huh. I can't watch anything without seeing her face, which I don't mind. She's a good actress.
Good actress.
That's it, though. Robbie, thanks for coming on.
Yep.
Ken Jack, Chris Castellani, I'm Jeff DeLo. We will talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.